Welcome, everybody, to Jawanza for Life, also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine. My name is Jawanza, and I thank you so much for taking the time out to share the next hour or so with me and my special, special guest. As I always say, if you're a regular listener, you know that once a month, very, very awful show with a very powerful sister. Dr. Ruby Lathan is a regular, and we're so blessed to have her as a regular on the show. And today's topic is going to be a very, very important topic. Well, they all are very, very important, but this is the type of topic that really cuts to the core of a lot of women, a lot of marriages, a lot of people. You know, from, you know, the time we're children, we have aspirations of growing up and what we want to be when we grow up. And for a lot of young ladies, the aspiration is a mommy. You know, you ask any little girl what they want to be when they grow up, you know, at some point, if you ask 10, 9 of them are going to say a mommy, you know. And so this show is about helping to, for certain women who are not able to or have not been able to fulfill that dream yet, then this show is for you. And if it's not for you, it's for somebody that you know. But let me tell you a little bit about my guest. If you're tuning in for the first time, Dr. Lathan is a holistic health and wellness expert and an advocate for plant-based nutrition. Dr. Lathan inspires with a powerful story of recovering from thyroid cancer through alternative treatment focused on a whole foods plant-based diet. She holds a PhD in industrial and systems engineering and a BS in computer science. And she began teaching others about the benefit and power of plant-based nutrition. She motivates others to take charge of their health and provides tools for living healthy, disease-free, and above our daily routines to experience the peace of life's the peace and the joy of life's journey. Dr. Lathan served as nutritional policy manager and lobbyist at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where she led a national initiative to improve child nutrition and prevent chronic disease through emphasis on plant-based options in the National School Lunch Program. She's a dynamic speaker and educator, hosting a number of seminars, workshops, and healthful vegan cooking demonstrations. And Dr. Lathan is a health and wellness contributing writer for African American Lifestyle magazine and host of an alternative health webcast, Health 365, and the Whole Foods vegan cooking show, The Veggie Chest. So, you know why you're listening to her. Look at the, you hear the just what I just shared with you. I mean, she does a lot. She knows a lot. And if you're open, ready to receive and to grow, then shows like this with Dr. Lathan can improve the quality of your life. And I'm just blessed to have her back again. Dr. Lathan, welcome back. Great to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. Always glad to be here. And we've got another great topic tonight.
Absolutely. You know, as I started out the show, I mentioned that, you know, being a mother for a lot of women today was a dream that they had when they were a child. You know, you ask a little girl, what do you want to be when they grow up? I mean, shoot, for heaven's sake, little girls play with dolls and they play mommy, you know, where they have their little doll babies and they do their hair and they play mommy. And that's, you know, something that from the earliest memories that they have, many people have that aspiration of being a mother when they grow up. And for a lot of women, and then seeing other women, you know, it must be something to see other women if for whatever reason you haven't realized that dream and have tried to, but you've got your girlfriends are having babies, you're going to their baby showers and so forth, but for whatever reason, you just can't conceive. And so today's show, we're going to be talking about treating infertility naturally. Doctors, I mentioned, you know, a lot of women have that dream as a child and, you know, just growing up and wanting to fulfill that and then not being able to. That's got to be an emotionally troubling time for them, an emotionally depleting time for them. And I'm sure it causes problems in marriages, relationships, you know. So I thank you for agreeing to this topic, because we're going to help a lot of people today. So for that, so that we can lay the foundation for the purpose of helping a lot of people, a lot of people might not know. They hear the word What is infertility? I mean, just from, just so we can lay the foundation for the discussion with a definition, what is infertility?
Basically, it just describes a condition in which you are trying to get pregnant, meaning you're not using any contraceptives, and you're unable to. So it can, stem from either party, the man or the woman, as to the cause, but that's pretty much it. It's when you're having unprotected sex regularly and are unable to conceive.
So,
and usually it's after several months of trying.
Now, from my limited understanding about, the whole reproduction, the reproductive system and all of that and how that works, and you can enlighten me. When it comes to even the attempt at having or creating another life, there are times that are more, that are better than others. For example, when a woman is ovulating, would that be the best time for the couple to try? Because, I mean, if you're going to try just any old time of the month, that might not be the best way to approach it. I mean, there would be certain times that are more conducive to
right.
than others, correct?
That is correct. That's definitely correct. It is during ovulation. It really is, if you do that, have sex within a day or so of ovulation, that is the best time. And that's usually going to be about 2 weeks after the first day of the last of your cycle, of the woman's cycle. So 2 weeks after the first day of the cycle. So about 14 days after that is when ovulation is going to occur.
Okay. Now, what about when you have women who have prolonged cycles, So, I mean, with that, and I'm sure that, I don't want to take the conversation somewhere else, but, I mean, because we know that could be symptoms of, something else. But
right.
that would that impact what you just said, I mean, concerning, the first day of the cycle, 14 days after that, I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, generally a cycle anywhere from 3 to 7 days. If it's longer than that, there's probably some other issue that's happening. And so conception might be a problem anyway in that case. So if you have an extremely long cycle, like more than 10 days, that's a problem. More than 7 days, really, should be looked at. So that would probably pose a different issue, but could also impact fertility as well.
So for the sake of discussion, we touched on ovulation, and it's probably safe to say that just like a lot of men don't know their bodies, a lot of women probably don't know theirs either, So could you break down what ovulation is so that when we use the term during this course of the discussion, women really know exactly what's going on in the body. I mean, with the egg and all of that.
Sure. You mean describe what's happening? Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Sure. So after a woman has her menstrual cycle, about 14 days after that, and that's the shedding of the lining of the uterus that was not used because there wasn't a baby, so it is expelled from the body naturally, and most women have a cycle of about 28 days. And then about 2 weeks after that, as I mentioned, the first day of the cycle, an egg is released, and so at that time, that's the highest probability of pregnancy if you have sex during that time. So, any time from, right then to a couple of days, so that's going to happen. If pregnancy doesn't occur, the cycle goes all over, we begin the cycle again and the lining comes out. If there is a pregnancy, then that shedding of the lining does not occur, which which most people know that they're pregnant because they miss a cycle, and that's because it doesn't shed if the egg has been fertilized. So that's pretty much what happens. So in the most simplistic term, so the sperm, you know, travels up, connects with the egg. If everything is working as it should, you know, if the egg is fertilized, then life begins.
So we're talking one egg, right? I mean, just it's one egg that's released?
Sometimes it is more than one.
Okay.
And in that case, that's where you can have twins or multiples or anything. So, or it can be one egg that then splits, and then you have the identical twin. So most times it's one egg. If you've gone on some type of, you know, except if it runs in your family, sometimes people have, you know, multiples in their family, lots of twins, even triplets. So, you know, your likelihood of releasing more than one egg at a time happens. If you're on fertility treatments, then there's also a likelihood of having, you know, more than one egg being released at a time.
So then if, because you mentioned that happened, I mean, the woman could be perfectly healthy and the issue could be with the man, or the man could be perfectly healthy and the issue be with the woman. So in the case of woman's infertility, is it that the egg, for whatever reason, is not released? And in the case of a man, you know, then there's something going on. It's not an egg, obviously, but it would be, I guess, something dealing with his sperm or something. But is that, would that be the case
right,
for the woman, that the egg isn't released?
No, so not all the time. Sometimes that is the case, that the egg isn't released, and that's because you might not have enough of the hormone that triggers the release of that. I think that's luteinizing hormone is what triggers the release of the egg. And if you have too little of that, then the signal does not happen, and so the egg does not release, which would cause you, you know, not to be able to get pregnant. So that's one of the causes. The other causes are many, in that you could be releasing an egg, but the environment isn't optimal for a baby to be nurtured. So then it just doesn't happen. You might have, you know, too much of one hormone or another. So there are various you know, reasons for that. You might have things like fibroids, which make the environment what they call inhospitable for a baby to conceive. It doesn't mean you won't. It just makes it harder for that to happen. So in that case, you are releasing an egg, but the environment is just not such that, you know, the hormones are in balance to support the pregnancy. Or the,
you know,
conception.
We're having this discussion, and I'm learning a lot, and I know that the people that are tuning in and will tune in are going to be educated as well. But even as we're having this discussion, it just drives home the point to me of a supreme intelligence, you know, at work here, you know, in the creation of man and women, you know, man and woman. I mean, because when you just think of the egg, you think of the purpose of it, you think of sperm and the purpose of it, you know, and then you think of, like you mentioned, the environment, the, you know, being conducive for a baby to grow in. There had to be a mind, an intelligence, you know, some call God, some call whatever you want to call it, at work, even just when you just look at reproduction and you ponder that the egg obviously had to be made with sperm in mind, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you just, when you think about it from just that standpoint of the supreme intelligence that had to be at work here, it's amazing. Your thoughts, any thoughts on that?
I agree. I mean, this is definitely a supreme divine design here, because there are so many, I mean, we still have a hard time as humans, as doctors, as scientists, as all these things, really understanding how the body works, and we've had it for a while now, so and we're not able to figure it out completely. So, you know, there has to be intelligent design behind it. And all of these little, I mean, there are like millions of little things that happen in our body every day, you know, autonomically by themselves that we know nothing about. But if the balance is off, you know, things don't work as they should. And that's definitely, you know, the case with, you know, fertility. It's like the balance can be off just a little bit to make the body, say, not now, you know, it's too acidic an environment, or it's just, you know, you're not producing enough nutrients that would support a pregnancy. There's a lot of things that go into it. So I agree. This is just an example of one, you know, example of divine design. And in some cases, you know, not being able to conceive is a good thing because, you know, your body might not be able to handle it if you're not really healthy and didn't really know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like the body knows this is not happening now. You've got to get the hormones in balance. We've got to get the nutrition in, on, you know, on target and things like that. And there's a lot you can do to improve your, you know, chances. But there's lots of reasons it doesn't happen. You know, from the egg not dropping, there's something called cervical mucus, and that's a really important factor. If there's not enough of that, then the environment is too acidic, and so the sperm won't actually make it to the egg. So if your body is too acidic, especially in that area, it's going to kill the sperm. So you might have an egg there, but nothing is going to happen. And that happens for a variety of reasons, as simple as not drinking enough water, to hormonal imbalance, to lack of exercise because you're not getting enough circulation to that area, blood circulation, to produce that cervical mucus. There are a number of reasons it happens. So, you know, the top reason being, you know, hormonal imbalance. So not having enough either progesterone or too much estrogen or something like that, that throws usually your menstrual cycle off. So if you have some irregularities with your cycle, it's probably you're probably going to have a little bit of an issue with pregnancy. Not always, but it often goes together. You know, not having enough of the, as I mentioned, luteinizing hormone is another one. And then there's, you know, we have a balance of testosterone as well and estrogen. And then for men, it's usually an imbalance of the estrogen and the testosterone that causes the issue. So, and just, you know, not having enough omega-3 fatty acids, for example, can cause a hormonal imbalance, which will make you know, it's difficult for the sperm to produce enough sperm or for the sperm to make the trip fully. So,
yeah. Is this something that is easily corrected? I mean, you know, just, you know, a few changes here, a few changes there, and, you know, try again and, you know, you've just increased your odds.
Not all the
of...
time. Not, I mean, it's like yes and no. I mean, sometimes it can be easy. Like if you have a condition like diabetes or just overweight, obesity, and you address that, sure, then sometimes it happens right away. A lot of people, they just lose weight and then they're able to conceive. That happens. So sometimes it's simple like that. You know, high blood pressure is an issue. So things like that can be, you know, sometimes thyroid issues can be addressed relatively easily. Yes, some people might lose weight and still have a problem, so they might have to do, you know, some more hormone balancing. And another thing we mentioned, sometimes STDs play a role, so people might have undiagnosed STDs, and that can, you know, stop, especially things like chlamydia or something that sometimes doesn't give symptoms for women, it can cause infertility too. So, you know, that's the one thing you would want to check to make sure there's nothing undiagnosed. And then usually if that's treated, then, you know, fertility issues are gone. So there are a number of things you can do nutritionally. I mean, you can start working. I mean, basically it's a lifestyle overhaul that usually gets people in line the fastest. And then after that, if that doesn't work, and I mean lifestyle overhaul, so it means things like, you know, not smoking, obviously alcohol consumption, coffee is not good for fertility. It actually decreases fertility. So getting rid of acidic things like that, coffee, alcohol, and obviously smoking is not good. It also reduces fertility. So stopping that, that's just off the cuff. You're trying to get pregnant, those need to go out the window. And then you want to make sure you're taking good vitamins. You know, B vitamins are especially important for pregnancy, but a number of other ones. You need vitamin D. Vitamin D deficiency has been linked to infertility, and a lot of us have vitamin D deficiency. So I would start with, you know, a good multivitamin that it has, you know, all the selenium and the strong in the B vitamins, maybe even taking a B complex separately, definitely making sure you have your omega-3 fatty acids, which are going to be either taking some form of like chia seeds, flax seeds, hemp seeds, walnuts, or taking an actual supplement, which would be called like a DHA supplement. So it wouldn't be fish oil, but it's that's what we use. Most people use fish oil for the omega-3, but you would use an algae-based algae-based omega-3. So you're getting it more pure instead of second or third hand through the fish. So you want to get your omega-3s both like a supplement and then through your food with the chia, hemp seeds, walnuts, on a regular basis. And then, you know, vitamin C is great for everything because it keeps you healthy. And then you want to do a really good diet. There are a lot of foods, diet, you know, junk food diet does actually help, you know, stop fertility, especially if you're eating lots of things with estrogen. And those are going to be things, dairy products and meat are going to have excess estrogen. And so if you have too much estrogen, it makes fertility difficult because the hormone balance is off. And when that's off, you know, that's going to be a problem. So generally, if you would need to stop dairy. Now, obviously, people who drink milk have kids too. But if you're having fertility problems, you would want to stop eating things that contributed to dairy to estrogen in the body. And so that would be dairy, and that's usually where we get most of the estrogen, then followed by, you know, fatty meats and things like that. So, because they have their own naturally occurring hormones in it, so you're just adding to it. So you'd want to get off of those products or minimize it extremely. I would recommend getting off of it and finding plant-based protein sources like your beans and nuts and seeds and raw protein powders, because you want to up your protein during this time and throughout the pregnancy. And then you want to, you know, stop eating processed foods and junk food, you know, all the donuts, cakes, candy, things like that that also help with estrogen production, which throws off the hormone balance. So you'd want to stay away from that, especially trans fat. So basically it's going to a very clean diet. So anytime you see hydrogenated vegetable oil or partially hydrogenated, you would want to, you know, stop that and use healthy fats. You do want to eat a lot of healthy fats. That's going to be like avocado, uncooked olive oil. It's going to be coconut oil, either raw or cooked. Those are going to be healthy fats, and obviously the nuts and seeds are healthy fats as well. So that's really, you know, where you would want to focus to get those good fats in, and then focus on a good plant-based diet with lots of whole grains and fruit and vegetables, the kind of diet that would basically help you heal anything. So you want to keep low on sugar, as that feeds the imbalance, and, you know, lots of water. So that's going to be like step one, is nutritionally getting in line with your supplements and your diet and getting rid of really bad foods out of the diet. And not only that, as a woman who's going to be carrying the baby, you want to prepare your body anyway to be at its healthiest form. So you'd want to, whether you had fertility issues or not, have a very clean diet so that your baby has the best nutrition while it's, you know, in the womb and then through breast milk after it's out. And then, of course, you clean water is important. No tap water. It has too many toxins in it that are going to be very bad for you. Also, there's a lot of environmental toxins that we want to stay away from, you know, air fresheners and bleaches and things like that during this time. I mean, period. I don't use those. They're cancer-causing, among other things, but they also throw off hormonal balance.
You know, doctor, this is just all very, very, and not only is it interesting, it's very important that people understand this and get this information and really, you know, sit with this information because, I mean, we're talking about bringing life, potentially bringing life into the world. And what's interesting to me, and amongst a lot of the interesting topics that have been raised even just thus far in the discussion, is the fact that I personally don't know, and I'm sure that this happens all the time. I mean, people do plan, but there are some communities that actually plan their having children more than others. I don't personally know anybody, any man, any of my friends ever came to me and said, you know, my wife and I, you know, we're, you know, planning on having a child or whatever. You know, it was more like, oh, man, you're not going to believe it. What? You know, so-and-so is pregnant. You know, like, really? Congratulations, you know.
It was that accidental blessing, is that what you're saying?
Exactly. You know, so, you know, when you talk about planning it, you know, and actually saying, okay, I'm going to make sure that my body is healthy. I'm going to make sure that both parties, my body is healthy, that I'm, you know, that when we do bring this child into the world, you know, we're planning for it. You know, we make enough money now. You know what I'm saying? We got the job. We got the house. You know, everything's cool. So now, you know, let's plan to have this baby. For a lot of couples, it's just, you know, a woman might find out that she's in just because she's been sleeping with a guy and having unprotected sex, and she's been going with the guy for 2 years and hasn't gotten pregnant. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think for a lot of people, even this discussion is important, you know, just because, you know, you want to, I think just even the approach that people have, and I'm not a judge or anything like that, but just even as we talk about this, you can't talk about infertility because without having the discussion of sex, because, I mean, that's, you know, that's like having exactly. It's like trying to have a discussion about water without talking about wetness. I mean, you know, they go hand in hand. So just even the approach to life and the, you know, just looking at life and the conception process as being one that is a sacred act, and, you know, just, you know, we talked about the divinity aspect, this in terms of the divine intelligence, that even as we look at this and, you know, approach, you know, knowing the potential that is there to conceive a child, and, you know, just even our approach to it. Could you just talk about the approach, the mental approach to the act of purposely, I guess, even trying to conceive because of the potential to create a life, which is, you know, an aspect of the divine.
Well, planning is always great. I mean, it doesn't always happen like that. Like you said, probably the majority are unplanned, because if we waited till we were perfectly ready to have kids, a lot of people would never do it. So, but, you know, I believe in living a lifestyle that would keep you ready any time. for having a family. So all the things that, I just mentioned are not just for people who are trying to conceive, and also not just for women. There's a lot men can do to make sure they're producing the healthiest sperm possible, and, fast swimmers and enough and all of that too. The same things that I'm talking about would apply to both men and women to, increase your chances. But, I think it's, mindfully, if you're having sex with someone, if you're married or, and you're not taking precautions, then basically you are kind of planning, in a way to have a child. So it's kind of there in the forefront. So I think it's great if you can plan, and it's a big responsibility to take on. And so you just want to know that when you do, you have to be willing to make the lifestyle changes that are best for now two or three people and not just, yourself. Because most women know that breastfeeding is, for example, optimal. So, why not get on track now so that you're not feeling deprived and having to start a new nutritional lifestyle along with a new baby when you can already be on track for that and make that transition a little easier for your whole, for your family. So it makes everything easier. It makes the birth easier. When you've planned it and thinking about, how you're going to go about this and all of that, and recognizing the huge blessing and responsibility that comes with it, it's definitely something that I think we want to take the time to ponder and think out and be ready for. Because you think of that 9 months of carrying a child, and the first few years are so huge in development that it really is worth it to be on your top level of your game so that you set up your child for the best outcome. They have to live with whatever you did during this time for the rest of their lives to a degree. So the best you can do is be healthy, be well, and be ready.
In the context of this whole discussion, I think it's probably good to even touch on the role that stress plays in a woman's inability to conceive, because and there are many women who could attest to this, that unfortunately, that there are women out here who've had miscarriages. They were able to get pregnant, and then for whatever reason, they lost the baby. And I'm sure that there are a number of reasons that go into why a woman would miscarriage, but I'm sure that stress would probably play a large role in that. I mean, working, going to jobs, and just being under the pressures of life and not knowing how to deal with those pressures. Could you talk about the role of stress in infertility and even miscarrying a baby?
Absolutely. That is definitely one of the big factors for both of those. So high stress definitely does impair fertility for starters. Again, because that high stress is going to be one of the reasons the your hormonal balance is going to be off. So that's just right there in of itself. And then there's so many negative effects of constant stress that come along with that. So it definitely can lead to miscarrying, because basically you're creating an acidic environment that doesn't support the growth of the baby. So your body just isn't hormonally balanced to, follow through with the pregnancy. So whereas your body might be releasing the egg and it happens, so things are somewhat working properly, but then you're under a lot of chronic stress that definitely improves the likelihood of miscarry. So it's just one of those things. Stress is bad, period. It's a factor in so many diseases, and it's just one of those things that has to be acknowledged and managed. Otherwise, you know, it sneaks up on you sometimes, and then it just impacts the rest of your life, because a lot of times stress leads to lack of sleep because you can't relax or you're overworking yourself, you're exhausted. That causes infertility issues, not sleeping enough, because basically you're fraying your body. So it doesn't have time to repair, because while we're sleeping, that is when you know, our body repairs and does its work. And so if your body is not able to do that, it's not going to be able to support another life, because that takes a lot of energy, a lot of nutrients, a lot of energy to support another life. And so if you're not getting the basic sleep, then your body knows this isn't a good time to support a baby. So it's like your body is like almost doing you a favor, that when you're under high stress, lack of sleep, taking in environmental toxins, it's hard to get pregnant. And that happens to be a good thing, because you wouldn't want to bring a child into that environment at that time. That doesn't always happen. There are people who have babies under those conditions too. But by and large, this hampers it and lessens the likelihood.
You know what's so interesting, doctor, is that you have people that, and this just goes to show you the how the body is made, and you know just what it can withstand. Because you have women and men who, you know, just have not adopted a holistic health diet. I mean, eat the worst food. I mean, you know, drinking, smoking, getting high. I mean, you know, whatever the case is, and might have 5 or 6 babies. You know what I'm saying? Whereas you might have somebody that's living a relatively you know, clean life, relatively, for lack of a better term. I mean, it might not be perfect, but just, you know, not doing all of those other things and cannot get pregnant and trying everything. I mean, trying to have, you know, other people have babies for them, you know, were you, you know, were they sperm donors, or, you know, having they do it, you know, and it's
right, having someone else carry the
like
child for them. Right. And, you know, and the thing about that is sometimes being worked up about getting pregnant creates a stress that makes it hard to get pregnant. So a lot of those people who get surrogates or then just say, okay, we give up, we're going to adopt, or we're not going to do any more fertility treatments, they end up having a baby shortly after they have given up, because the stress is gone and the pressure is gone and the environment is relaxed, and so they're able then to conceive.
Yeah,
so,
that's interesting.
Yeah, it happens all of the time. As soon as a couple might, I mean, if you look it up, that happens a lot, especially after a couple has, like, you know, adopted a child or decided to, you know, have a surrogate. They'll get the baby home. The next thing you know, they're pregnant. And it's like, because they're not thinking about it anymore. And then it just pops up. So that stress is very real, and it has a significant impact. So you can even stress yourself out about the process to the point that it doesn't happen.
So, question, when a woman has a baby, let's say a woman has, you know, had a successful pregnancy and, you know, had the baby, at the time or after, you know, the baby's born, this sounds like a dumb question, but do the eggs that were not being released during the pregnancy because she was pregnant, are they now, you know, trying to catch up, you know, releasing maybe 2 and 3? And the reason I ask this is because it seems as though women who may have, and I've heard this, who have just had a baby, seem to be more fertile during the first, I guess, several months of just having a baby. You know, it's not uncommon to see a woman get pregnant again.
That is a good question. I'm not 100% sure. It'd probably be great to ask one of the OBGYNs or something that question. So I'm really not sure. I mean, that's a possibility, but I'm really not sure if that's the case. I mean, your hormones are at a higher level, you know, right after birth and things like that. So maybe more of the hormones that support birth are there, so it just makes it a more, you know, hospitable environment. So that's probably,
mm-hmm.
one consideration, but I really don't know if that's because, things haven't been released. Yeah, I don't think so. That would be my guess, but I really can't speak authoritatively on that.
Okay. Well, let's talk for a moment about male infertility. Would it be the same thing just as far as, you know, with women, the stress, bad, poor diet, you know, all of those things that we talked about with women affect men? And, of course, we know that there's going to be, you know, when you have all of those things, you're going to be affected in many different ways. I mean, we've done shows on, you know, for example, erectile dysfunction and different, you know, different conditions that, you know, or shoot, that's just, we're just talking about just reproduction now. But, I mean, just even in terms of just overall dis-ease is going to be associated with, you know, poor diet and, you know, stress and all of these other things. But as far as male infertility, that would be the same consideration for men as women. You know, you remove the stress, you know, clean up your diet, and you're going to just increase the chances of you being healthy enough to deliver sperm that can impregnate an egg.
Right. It's the same, a lot of the same issues. Poor diet and lifestyle affect the same way in terms of, because that affects the hormonal imbalance, or makes that imbalance occur. So then that translates into a lower sperm count and just overall health, and slower, you know, swimmers, the whole thing. So yes, that's it. In terms of diet and lifestyle, it's going to be pretty much the same thing for men. I mean, there are other hormones that, you know, play into the imbalance, but it's still DHEA, which is DHA that is converted, so you're still going to focus on the omega-3 fatty acids. You're still going to focus on, you know, a good testosterone, estrogen balance as well. So that's definitely, so it's something that should be done together. You know, if couples are trying to have children and their fertility issues, they need to support each other regardless of what end the fertility issue may be. If they go into this, we're both going to get healthy, we're both going to, you know, have a healthy lifestyle, eat well, and support each other, then the likelihood of, you know, conception is much greater.
You know, it's this show is so very, very important, because it takes away the, for lack of a better term, I can't think of a word for, just the stuff that goes on in relationships. Oftentimes you might have people blaming each other. You know, you might have a man who's looking at a woman, you know, who can't get pregnant because she's, you know, because of her infertility issues or whatever, and he's blaming her. You know, she might be blaming him. You know, you're like, no, I got kids, you know. It ain't me, you know.
Well, you know, that's just going to make it worse. And, you know, being fertile before doesn't mean you don't have infertility issues later. So just because you have children doesn't mean that, you know, some years later you don't have fertility issues, because, you know, your lifestyle may have changed, your stress may have changed. And, you know, that blaming, number one, maybe it means you shouldn't have kids because you haven't learned how to work together as a couple to work things out and to be supportive. And two, the stress of that will definitely lower the probability of conceiving, because now, you know, one person feels the pressure of that, and as opposed to support, as we're going to work through this together, we're going to fix this, we're going to, you know, make it happen, as opposed to blaming, is, you know, maybe you should take a step back anyway and rethink the whole how you relate to each other, because there are going to be some trying times if you actually do conceive when you're raising that child. So where cooperation and lack of blaming is going to need to happen, you know, so.
Everybody, my special guest is Dr. Ruby Lathan, and if you have a question, if you're online and you'd like to ask a question, you better hurry up. The telephone number to call in on is 347-324-5727. Again, that's 347-324-5727. If you're listening by telephone, all you have to do is press 1, and then I can bring you on, and you can talk to Dr. Lathan live. Doc, let's talk briefly just about, you know, again, when we're having this discussion about infertility, you know, people want to know, well, you know, you talk about diet, you know, you talk about, because, and that's a heavy, heavy, heavy piece, you know. Why you know that diet works, you know. Normally I start the show off with Dr. Lathan sharing her testimony, and you know for a fact the role that diet plays in a person's lifestyle. And if, you know, a person just starts there, you know, if they just say, you know what, I know I need to make some dietary changes. Doc, and you talked about it briefly earlier, but please tell the listeners again how you know that diet, mm-hmm. making dietary changes can actually not just change your life, it can actually save your life. I mean, because once you change your diet, I mean, all kinds of magical things happen to the body. Can you talk about, can you give your testimony before we leave?
Sure. I mean, the diet is really important. And I would add to that, too, that if you have been, you know, on a very poor diet and lifestyle, you want to give, they say, about 4 months for the changes to take place for you to actually improve the quality of the sperm and egg. So, you know, you don't just give it, you know, 3 weeks or whatever. Give your body 4 months of doing these changes for the actual improvement to happen. So you can improve both of those things over time. And so a lot of people don't think you can. They're like, oh, as you age, you know, your eggs just get old. And but you can improve the quality of both eggs and sperm based on your lifestyle. So if you've been living, you know, very, you know, bad nutritional and sedentary lifestyle, you can improve that. And you just want to give it, you know, take that 4 months of planning, you know, for the birth of the child, but getting your body in shape and then going for it. And then you'll just have a much better chance of having a healthy, happy baby and a much higher chance of fertility right off the bat. So that's mm-hmm. one thing. So with my story, it was, you know, cancer that really got me into looking at diet as a way to heal. And, you know, switching to that plant-based diet to a whole food diet, and, you know, eating things that were, the purpose were to nourish my body, I was able to reverse the cancer through that, you know, diet and lifestyle change. And stress reduction was a big part of that too. So I know that that is a factor. And usually when I work with people, we talk about stress and how to reduce it, you know, with whatever issue they're dealing with, because it's one of those silent things that just sometimes you don't even know how stressed you are. I used to be that way, where I would get stressed and not realize it until something erupts. You know, then I realize, oh, I've been stressed for a number of weeks now. And so now I pay more attention to that, you know, stress levels, and try to do things to alleviate it earlier on than waiting for some physical crisis to happen, because your body eventually lets you know this is too much. It tries to manage until then, but you really don't want to get to the breaking point. We want to be in tune with our bodies, you know, do things that help us release the stress and feel good, you know, throughout, so that we don't get there, and that way we stay more in balance, because that's what it's really about, you know, keeping the immune system boosted through with the right nutrition and, you know, feeling good and feeling happy. And you want to be happy when you're pregnant. You want to have and most people are, I think, you know, unless it's under some unwanted circumstance, you know, most people are pretty happy about it, and that's what you want to be, you know, because your attitude, you know, affects the formation of the attitude of the child you're carrying, you know, and it comes from whoever you're around. So a lot of people see fertility and birth as all on the woman, but your partner plays a huge part in that. I mean, you know, it's a 50-50 contribution here. So, but also during the development, who you're around and the energy they're giving off affects that too. And so during my cancer recovery, I had to make sure I wasn't around people who were irritating to me or who were stressing me out. Sometimes you have to cut people off. And it's the same thing with this issue, you know, in the process of increasing, you know, your fertility odds. You want to just create a healthy environment. And the great thing about that is if you do that pre-conception, then you don't have to worry about doing it post-conception. You know, you already have a healthy environment. So all of those things, and that's the great thing, I think, about holistic living. It addresses one thing, but it really applies to almost everything. So the things you need to do, let's say, to heal from a disease, you know, are the things you need to do to get your body prepared to have a baby, especially if you're having infertility issues. So it really is a lot of the same. And so it's like, while I'm healing this, I'm healing other things at the same time, and I'm getting healthy. And, you know, getting the right attitude in preparation for a child is super, super important. So, and something that should be done together with your partner.
You know, everybody, I'm just, you know, sitting back, soaking up all of this information, and I encourage everybody that if you're just tuning in and you're just catching this, the last 10, 15 minutes of the show, then definitely go back and listen to the archives, because Dr. Lathan really, really goes over some very, very powerful, important information, so that if you're just catching it, the end part of the show, definitely go back and listen to the whole thing. That way you can get the context and, you know, you can get the benefit of all of the knowledge that she shared. Dr. Lathan, you've got a workshop or an event coming up this weekend. Can you talk about that?
Sure. I'm part of a summit called the Stretch Summit for Women, and it's all about stretching ourselves to reach our potential in a good way. It's going to be very motivational, very encouraging. It's in Columbia, Maryland. And folks can go to either my Facebook page or to my website and find the link for that. It's the Stretch Summit, and it starts this weekend. And I'll be giving a presentation there, and there's a number of really powerful women that are going to be there encouraging and helping each other just really get on track and, you know, live our better lives. So I really encourage people, if you're in the Maryland, Virginia, D.C. area, to come on out. It's in Columbia, Maryland at the Sheraton, and be ready for a full, long, beautiful day of empowerment and encouragement. So
just for women to come out and to basically reach their potential, I mean, is that the goal?
Right,
of
so we're going to be talking about everything from financial wellness, spiritual wellness. Obviously, I'm going to be talking about health and nutrition as well as some other people. So basically kind of giving you a bit of a roadmap for getting it together. Wherever you need to improve your life, you're having relationship issues, there's going to be folks who are specialists in that area talking about letting toxic things go and how to do that, how to recover maybe from past abuse, just, you know, how to find your passion and live that passion. So it covers a lot of various topics that are really relevant to most of us.
Was this the women-only thing by design? I mean, you know,
is that
talking about men?
Yeah, I am not the host. This Bishop Shirley Holloway is the host, and I guess it was by design. She works with a lot of women and thought, we need to get together and encourage one another and, you know, make this happen. Mm-hmm. So yes, so it was by design.
Okay. Well,
yeah, it's funny that you say that, because I have I recently had a Just for Men's cooking class, and then the women were getting jealous about that, saying, well, what about, why does it have to be just for men? And then I had one 2 weeks later for everyone, and it was mostly women. And I was like, this is my point. This is exactly why we have these. Sometimes we need to go to ourselves and get together to encourage one another, then share with each other. But, you know, so sometimes it's good to be apart and then get back together and do something empowering together. And, you know, on future shows, we'll be talking about my Holistic Health Summit, which is going to be in January, the last Saturday in January, where it will be for everyone, and we'll be talking about, you know, various things. But sometimes the girls just need to get together and lift each other up.
Okay, all right. So men, if a man wanted to get a ticket, he it better be for somebody. It better be for his sister, his wife, or
exactly. Right, and I think that's a great gift to give someone too. So yeah, they could definitely go to my website, rubylathan.com. There's a link there on the events page, or if you're following me on Facebook at the Ruby Lathan, you'll see it posted there as well. So yeah, I look forward to it.
It's going to be all day.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Wow. And you know, I don't know the. I looked at the. I actually saw the advertisement, and I didn't recognize any of the other speakers. But I just want to tell everybody: listen, if you just go and you just hear Dr. Lathan, okay, you're going to come away with some information that you can definitely use, that can actually change and save your life. I mean, when you think about the work that you do, and when I think about the work that you do, it's amazing to me, you know, because people come to you in many cases, I'm sure, with their life hanging in the balance, you know, and
yeah, I mean that's
yes.
True, you know, I mean, to interrupt, but I just got, you know, what's great is when I get updates from people, and I just got one this week from someone who was suffering terribly. I mean, they had so many issues, from just overall pain in their body to, you know, not being able to see well, not being able to sleep, brain fog, you know, frequent urination, bumps breaking out on their skin. So something happened, and they said they'd been to the ER in pain. Doctors could do nothing, didn't even know what to prescribe for them. So they were just like, let go. And so I started, you know, talking to looking up the symptoms and came up with a plan. It was obviously some type of poisoning that had happened. And 2 weeks later, they saw symptoms almost gone. 6 weeks, it's been 6 weeks now, back to normal, able to exercise again. They weren't able to walk up steps without feeling like they were going to pass out, you know, and just feeling terrible. And all of this was nutritional intervention and supplements. Where the doctors had no clue, and now this person is back to normal when they felt like they were close to death. And so that kind of thing makes me feel really, really good, because, you know, you're just reading your email one day and boom, it pops up, and it's a moment to pause and just be grateful that I'm living my purpose so I can help people like this, because they didn't know what to do. And a friend just said, you should see Dr. Lathan, and we got it going. So, you know, it's a pleasure and an honor to be able to help people, and it just makes me feel like everything that I do is worth it when I can get results like that from people, and it happens all the time. So it's a privilege to be in this role, and it just makes me joyful.
You know, Doctor, you know, and with that, you know, again, like you mentioned, like the 50-50 thing with the woman and the man, the woman donates the egg and the man donates the sperm, and it's a 50-50 thing. Well, it's 50-50 with this too, in that you can give them the information, that's your 50, but they got to do it.
That is true, and this person was on it. They did not push back and say, do I have to? Oh, this is going to be terrible. They said it was hard, but they did it, and they got results. And those are the best type of clients. I work with the hard-headed clients too, and it's just a little more work, but we get there.
I encourage you to contact Dr. Lathan. I mean, I don't care what the condition is. I don't care what the doctors have said. There's hope, okay? Dr. Lathan cured herself of thyroid cancer, okay? That's news. That's newsworthy. That should have made the news, you know. Again, I'll repeat that. She cured herself of thyroid cancer, okay? And she knows the body and how it works and what to give it, what fuel to give it so that it can run optimally. So whatever your condition is, I don't care what it is, okay, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain by giving Dr. Lathan a call, contacting her, checking out the Veggie Chest on YouTube. Have you checked that out yet? Again, all you have to do is just punch up the Veggie Chest on YouTube, and she will actually show you, okay, take you by the hand and show you ways in which you can actually prepare food that's going to taste good and keep you coming back for more. Dr. Lathan, again, just if you could just give your information, how people can get in contact with you so that you know, because I know after hearing this show, they're going to want to.
Sure. They can reach out to me by phone at 202-709-7829, or they can reach me at info@rubylathan.com, email info@rubylathan, that's RubyLathon.com. And if you just want to see what I'm up to and get great information, you can just go to my website at RubyLathon.com, and you can also get in contact with me there. So that's RubyLathon.
Dr. Lathan, I want to thank you. I want to thank you. I want to thank you. I always look forward to speaking with you because I know I'm going to be educated. I know that the listeners are going to be educated. And, you know, for all of the lives that you touch, and I pray that you get more emails like the one that you just got, because I know it has to be rewarding when you know you're on purpose and you know that there are people out there that appreciate what you do and that it touched their life in a very meaningful way. And so, again, I thank you, my sister. I really appreciate the work that you do, and again, I'm honored to have you on as a guest. Thanks for your wisdom today. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you. Always a pleasure.
Okay. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Good night.
Peace and blessings. Everybody, that is Dr. Ruby Lathan. Again, I encourage you to give her a call because you have nothing to lose. You have actually nothing to lose and everything to gain. Your health is your wealth, and she has been on this holistic health path, curing and educating and sharing. And we're just blessed to have somebody with her knowledge to be able to come on and share with us the benefits of holistic health. I encourage you to scroll down the archives because we've got shows with Dr. Lathan on you name it. I mean, we've talked about diabetes. We've talked about colon cancer. I mean, we've talked about meditation and visualization. I have to think hard about what we have not talked about, okay? So, I mean, thyroid cancer, curing thyroid cancer, breast cancer, I mean, you name it, we've talked about it. So scroll down the archives, and you'll definitely see other shows with Dr. Lathan. It would behoove you to check those shows out because we talked about fasting. I mean, the shows just keep coming back to me as I'm talking. We've talked about the benefits of fasting. You got to check that show out. You wanted to fast? Okay. You thought about fasting but didn't know how to do it? Well, there's a way to do it. So don't just stop eating. Find out the best way to do it so that you can get the best results. So, again, scroll down the archives and you'll see different shows with Dr. Lathan. I want to make sure that you get this information because this Sunday, guess who's coming back? That's right. Dr. Ted Watkins, MD, is going to be my special guest this Sunday morning, October the 16th. It's going to be a morning show. It's going to be from 8 a.m. until 9 a.m., and this is going to be part two of the last show that he did with me, which is on exercise and longevity, what you need to know, part two, okay? That's going to be this Sunday, October the 16th, Dr. Ted Watkins, MD, graduated from Howard University back in 1977. He was a surgeon, but God actually called him out of that field and said, you really want to heal people? You really want to help people? Get with the holistic health plan. So he did. He's a holistic health doctor now. He's got a family practice, and I guarantee you, you tune in this Sunday, you're going to be blessed. Again, that's 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., okay? Now, let me tell you about the archives. Oh, my God. If you've never taken a stroll down the Juwanza for Life lane, check out the archives, okay? We've got shows with Brother Coy Dunstan. He cured his mother of cancer in both breasts, her liver, and her colon. I'm going to say that again. Coy Dunstan, who's a regular on this show, comes on every first Thursday, cured his mother of cancer in both breasts, her liver, and her colon just by changing her diet to a livid. Get it? Diet, livid. He changed her diet to a livid. He took her off the meat, the dairy, the sugar, all of that. Okay? They started fasting, doing enemas. I mean, the whole bit. He changed her lifestyle and saved her life. And you know what's so amazing about that? She was the very first person that he had ever worked with in terms of changing diet and, you know, vegan, vegetarian meals. And she was the first person. And with her being the first person, he got better results the first time than many allopathic doctors have gotten after years and decades of practicing, and I put that in quotes, medicine. But you definitely want to check Brother Coy out, okay? Again, Dr. Ruby, she comes on once a month as well, okay? Dr. Ted Watkins is a regular, okay? And we've got spiritual shows that, I mean, the health piece is just going to keep you healthy while you're here, okay? Now, the spiritual piece is going to help you to live a successful life. Scroll down the archives. We've got shows with Dr. Ra'u Nefer Amen. Check them, Ra'u Nefer Amen. Stress Free for Life. Did an awesome interview with him on his book, Stress Free for Life. We touched upon relieving stress, or not just relieving it, but eliminating stress. Why relieve it when you can eliminate it? Okay? Because if you just relieve stress, then that part of the stress that you didn't get, if you didn't get it all, that's still going to affect you, right? So you want to eliminate it. So Dr. Ra'u Nefer Amen, check him, Ra'u Nefer Amen, talks about that in his book, okay, Stress-Free for Life. We've also done shows with him on his book called Wa'eb, okay, and that is how to enhance and heal your brain through comedic meditation. That's also in the archives. Okay, we've got shows with Orwahehi Meturan Comet. We just finished this awesome series on the seven divisions of the spirit. Scroll down. There are seven divisions to the spirit. Didn't know there were seven? Yep. So scroll down. You want to learn about them? They're in the archives, okay? We did shows with him on the 11 laws of God. You didn't know there were 11? Yep. Scroll down and listen to those shows. We've done shows with Hexham Suheru, Shekhameyam Nater, on the different the winter solstice, fall equinox, the different solstices and equinoxes and different topics. We've done shows with Shekhem Tepraim Sa'a on different aspects of Qigong, family wellness. I mean, you just scroll down. We've done shows with entertainers. We've got shows with Melba Moore. We've got shows with Luke Ossett Jr., Margaret Shug Avery. I mean, you know, this goes on. So just scroll down and see if you find something that's interesting to you. And I would encourage you, share the links to these shows. If you enjoy them, then, you know, you might know somebody that might need to hear this information or would like to hear this information. So I want to take a moment and just say thank you for tuning in. I always say you could be doing something else, but you've taken time out. Like right now, there are people that are listening to this show. Right now, you could be doing something else, but you're here. You think you're here by accident? Your spirit brought you here, and I'm glad it did. So until the next time that we speak, and again, that's going to be this Sunday, October the 16th, Dr. Ted Watkins, tell somebody we're going to be talking about exercise and longevity, what you need to know, part two. So to get caught up to speed, why don't you go back and listen to part one? Will you do that? Dr. Ted Watkins, exercise and longevity, what you need to know. Part two is this Sunday. Why don't you go back and listen to part one if you haven't already? So until the next time, everybody. My name is Jawanza, and I thank you. Love you too. Peace. Hi.